This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Folks, my next guest is an actor you know from The Leftovers, The Gilded Age, and Ghostbusters Afterlife. Please welcome to The Late Show, Carrie Coon. Lovely to have you. I dig that suit.
Nice to be here. Thank you. When you're on with a VP, you have to wear a power suit.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing, is that I've never had a chance to interview you before, but I'm sure we know a ton of people in common because my sort of formative acting time back when I was an actor was in Chicago.
I
lived there for 11 years.
I know, before my time. I'm so
young. Thank you. Thank you. Well, That's all we have time for. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I really wish... when
David
did you get
Pasquazi
in Chicago?
David Pasquazi is a dear friend.
I was just telling these people about
Pasquazi. I know, I heard that part. It was lovely.
The first person I saw on stage improvising. I went, well, I want to be like that.
Exactly, me too, and I'm not. And I Neither love the Herald. I love it. It's so hard.
It is.
You know, the last time TJ and Dave were in New York, Tracy and Michael Shannon improvised with them. And it was that was the last time I saw him, but he's the best.
Did you grow up in Chicago or did you move to Chicago?
I grew up in Ohio, outside of Akron, Ohio, in a small town. It used to be Woo, now we're a little, we're on the edge. And and then I went to school at UW-Madison for graduate school, that renowned acting program. Yeah, that's also gone. And then the directors I was working with at the Outdoor Shakespeare Theater were all Chicago-based, and so it made sense to go there.
Well, we're lousy with Chicago people in this program. My showrunner over there, Tom Purcell, we first met in Chicago.
Excellent.
We love Chicago here.
Yeah, we do.
What is it you love most about Chicago? Like, what are some of your most formative memories of Chicago?
Well, I love the lake. I used to, play soccer by the lake and then jump in. It was very idyllic in that way.
Sure.
And then the Athenian Room, the Athenian Room? All the Northwestern students are waitresses there,
Yes.
And my husband and I go there for our anniversary and have the Kalamata chicken for $12.95.
That's a great deal. That's the Athenian Room.
Now. Yeah. Cash only.
Tonight's sponsor. Well, as you're saying, your husband is a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and actor, Tracy Letts, who, by the way, has supposed to have been on this show twice.
Yeah.
He was the guest for the night that was canceled, the March 13th show that was canceled 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we booked him again for when we were back in the theater, and he was my guest the night I got COVID. So we've canceled him twice because of COVID.
Yeah, he might not come back.
It's nothing personal.
Mm-hmm.
How did you two meet?
It's called a showmance. We were doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in Chicago? Oh, dear, yes.
This is?
And,
there you are.
Play about marriage, yeah. And so we met at Seven Wolf, and I remember I walked in the door, and he said, I'm very glad you're here. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm here. And we thought we were being very subtle about all of it, but then as soon as we told our director and our co-stars it was going to be full on, they were all like, yeah. Big surprise. So apparently the chemistry was very obvious from the beginning.
Or do you have, the wonderful thing about stage is anything can happen.
Yes.
It's not a controlled environment. Mm. You have your preparation, but the audience can change things up and your fellow actors can change things up. Do you have a scariest moment on stage?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I did fall flat on my face one time, but I think the scariest part was when I did Bug before the pandemic, which is one of my husband's plays.
Sure.
And then we brought the play back after the pandemic to reopen Steppenwolf Theater because it was, kind of ready to go. And I had my second child, so it was 11 weeks after I'd given birth. I was back in rehearsals, really out of my mind. And there's a 10 to 12 minute nude scene in that play. So I was just parading around. As you know, it's a Chicago rite of passage to be naked on stage.
Sure.
You've done it, haven't you?
I have. I was 19 the first time I was naked on stage.
That's very
tender.
And
I remember thinking, 19's a good age to be
That's
naked.
That's a great age to be naked. Yeah.
And there was no internet.
Try 41 after two kids. Try that.
There was also no internet back then.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Exactly.
No, it's true. You really have to be careful, that sort of thing. But I have to say, Tracy said it was going to be really liberating, and it really was. Because what you found is that being naked was the least of my worries. The play is so hard. Mm-hmm. The end of the play is so hard that that became like a relaxing moment.
That wasn't with Dex Bullard, was it?
No, Dex. It was David Cromer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I love Dex.
Dex is great. Dex was my old partner in crime when I was starting off as an actor in Chicago. And he used to call me up and he would say, "Do you want to get in trouble?" That's what he would say.
And that that's meant, a great opener.
And that meant he had booked a space and he had called like Richard Christensen and, and Hedy Weiss and Larry Balmer and to come review the play from the the Trib, the Sun Times, and the Chicago Reader, and named the play and not written it. And he and I would get together and we would
write a play?
We would write the play and put it up because...
And how much time?
Oh, we would give ourselves about 10 days to write and rehearse the play. And then they would come to see it. And we'd only play one weekend because it would basically be between productions of other theaters. We'd get the stage for free.
And did you have a company name or something? Or
no, it was just, let's get in trouble. And that's what I tell young actors when they
so
say,
great.
Like, how do I do what you want to do? Somebody just asked me earlier, how do you do, I want to do that. And I said, and what I would say is like, go get in trouble.
That's good advice.
Commit yourself to go do something on stage and then invite people you care about.
That's right. That's really good. And, you know, the other thing I would say, too, especially to young women, is that, you know, I was a really good student. I was a straight-A student, and I was a really good girl, and I wanted to be a good girl, and I wanted to... Yeah, I did just drop that, didn't I? I wasn't really a straight... Math was really difficult. And I just... You know, one of my directors said to me once, I don't want to work with a good student. I want to work with an artist. And just, you know, to be not to worry about being right and being good all the time was such good advice to me, because you have to make mistakes.
Were you a waitress?
Oh, Stephen, I'm the worst waitress you've ever seen.
Really?
I got a waitressing job once. I told them that the place in my hometown that I worked in burnt down and that they couldn't call for references, so I got a job at Bob Evans. And my
You had to lie to get a job at Bob Evans?
I did. I know, and I shouldn't have done it. This
I had
woman...
to falsify my passport to work at Cracker Barrel.
No, totally. Really terrible. And the first day I worked there, this woman, I'm sure she was supporting her family, you know, three kids or something.
Course.
And she was like, are you right-handed or left-handed? And I was like, right-handed? And she was like, switch your tray. I was like, okay. I mean, I was doing everything wrong. Everything was backwards.
You're now starring in...
But you're a good waiter, aren't
what?
You? You're a good waiter, aren't you?
I was pretty good. I can handle a lot of tables. Good. It was hard to put me in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever eat scoozies?
You just dropped that. You see that?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Oh, really?
No, I think it was... Maybe was it closed when I got
Yeah, because you're so much younger than
I'm
I am.
I'm so young, Stephen.
Man, how
so
many
young.
Times are you going to say that?
One more. I'm so young.
Well, the new movie is called Boston Strangler. Do you enjoy true crime?
I do. Yes. Yeah? I'm always afraid of being murdered. It's always good to be vigilant.
Sure, and you think that true crime keeps you on edge?
Well, it's good
on
to
your toes?
Think about all the ways they get somebody and see if you can avoid them.
Sure. Well, what did you know of anything about the case before?
Well,
you
I knew
did the
Tony
movie?
Curtis movie, so I knew that, you know, DeSalvo was the killer of all these women, except that's not true. We don't know that that's up. He was never charged for any of those murders, and he's only been connected by DNA evidence to one of those murders, so we don't know for sure if he was the only killer. But most importantly, I didn't know there were two female journalists who helped break that story and connect all the crimes and warn all the women of Boston that they might be murdered. Those women have been completely erased from that story.
And that's who you and Keira Knightley play in this.
Yes.
We have a clip here. Can you tell us what's happening in this clip?
In this clip, Keira Knightley's character, Loretta McLaughlin, who was a real journalist, was receiving a lot of death threats for covering the crime, and she's received another death threat.
Jim.
Someone came to the house?
We put it in the mail slot. It's just me and the kids home.
You think it was a deranged cop or some deranged asshole?
Exactly pleased about it either way. Where are you going?
No, I didn't say anything when you put our pictures in the paper, but you and I both know what that was. That was a stunt. And I know you want to sell your papers, but at what cost? There's more than one lunatic out there, and you're going to get us both killed. Take it out.
They're not putting our picture in the paper anymore.
It was so lovely to have
Thanks
you here.
For having me.
Please come again.
I will.
That was so much
I'll
more
bring
to talk.
Tracy. Maybe you
Please.
Can wait, sit
so much more to talk
watch.
About.
Yeah, definitely.
Boston Strangler premieres Friday on Hulu. Carrie Coon, everybody. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. The Late Show will be back from our spring break on March 27th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.